here with lots of helicopters flying overhead because for days now, the streets around West LA have been blocked by the Hamas protesters. In a normal world, that would mean people protesting against Hamas. But in this world, it means people who are actually marching for Hamas and marching for Hezbollah, which I can tell you as a Jew is disturbing, to say the least. They are within, I don't know, 1 or 2 miles of my home, and there are helicopters overhead constantly for the last few days. So I just want to talk a little bit about marching for Hamas, Hezbollah, and any of the Iranian proxies and or against Israel. Okay, yes, Israel, the one and only Jewish state. I am going to go ahead and give everybody the benefit of the doubt that if you are out there marching, it's because you honestly and truly do believe that you are marching for social justice and you are marching for what's right. Any normal person watching the videos that are coming out of the Middle East have no choice but to be absolutely horrified by what's going on there. War is ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly always, and it is always a travesty. And if there could be no more war, boy, this world would be such a better place. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where war, unfortunately, is necessary, and a war on terror, even more necessary. But I do want to talk about marching today for Hamas, for Hezbollah, and against the state of Israel. Because, again, giving you the benefit of the doubt, you're marching, you're filling the streets, you're stopping traffic, and you're getting in the way of society because you're very, very concerned about the people in Gaza. And I actually understand that. I want to talk about a few aspects. And one is this concept of by any means necessary, right? Rape is resistance and all of that really good stuff pertaining to what went on 10/7, which was not only a massacre of 1,200 innocent civilians, but also approximately 350 IDF soldiers and I think about 60 police, Israeli police. So all told, somewhere in the vicinity of 1,500 to 1,600 people slaughtered within hours, okay? So let's put that in perspective for anybody who says that Israel deserves this. Let me just say, I'd like to look back in history a little bit, especially as a Jew. Let's frame this in terms of, say, the Holocaust. When the Holocaust occurred, right, what was the Jews' response to that? So the Holocaust ends, right? World War II ends. The Jews are liberated. Did they go into the streets of Germany and Poland and murder everybody, rape the women, dismember them, kidnap 250 innocent people? Did they steal babies? Did they burn babies and behead them? Did they kill parents in front of their children and children in front of their parents? The answer to all of that is no, is no. After the Holocaust, what the Jewish people wanted was safety and security. And a place where they could go to call home and feel safe. Yes, my friends, that state is now called Israel. Maybe you've heard of it. So there is no appropriate, there's no, I would say, situation where what happened on 10/7 is any form of an appropriate response to anything. Okay, you could say that Gaza was being occupied. Well, it's actually not true. If you look at the history books, Israel unilaterally and completely withdrew from Gaza in 2005 and 2006. And so then what? You say that there's a naval blockade or a border blockade. First of all, you have to understand that when you have terrorists at your border whose actual charter is specifically written for your destruction. Okay, so you have to understand this. If you read the charters of Hamas and Hezbollah, it has nothing to do with having their own states. Okay, Gaza is a de facto state and Lebanon actually is a state. Okay, so they already have states. If you read their charters, what they actually say is their raison d'etre, meaning the reason they exist, and the only reason is to destroy the Jewish state. Okay, let's put yourself in those shoes for 1 second. If those were your neighbors, what kind of fence would you build between your house and their house? Okay, Israel built that fence. Okay, they don't occupy Gaza, and they haven't been in Gaza in about 20 years. Okay. Now, on top of that, the thing that people conveniently forget is that Gaza actually also shares a border with Egypt. Okay. Their southern border, what we now know is called the Philadelphia Corridor, is shared with Egypt. Okay. If there's a blockade between Egypt and Gaza, who's complaining about that? Who's marching about that? Do you know that the Arab world that cares so much about the Palestinians did not let in a single Palestinian refugee? Do you know that Egypt, in fact, locked the border when Israel said that we need to come in and clean this place of Hamas and please civilians get out? All Egypt had to do was open that corridor and let the civilians out. And those lives would have been saved from a war that had to be fought. But instead, Egypt locked them in. Who's marching against them? Who's speaking up about that? Not even their besties, Iran, let in a single refugee. Okay? You have to understand that this is all a conspiracy to destroy the Jewish state, not just physically, but also diplomatically and in the public opinion, which is working so well. Everybody loves a good piece of terrorist propaganda. Okay, so there is never a situation where what happened on 10/7 is forgivable or is in any way justified. In any way, period. Okay, so let's not forget how this war started. And of course, now all eyes are on Lebanon. What started with Lebanon was that on October 8th, with absolutely zero provocation, Hezbollah started firing rockets on Israel in support of Hamas, and it hasn't stopped yet. 9,000 rockets from Hezbollah. Again, friendly neighbors, what do you expect your government to do? Okay, so again, social justice warriors out in the street marching for Hamas, marching for Hezbollah. And guys, can I just say that terrorism is not progressive? Sorry to burst your bubble. It's sort of regressive, in fact. In fact, the Islamic terrorists are like very barbaric and sort of like operating on standards that haven't existed in civil society for hundreds, if not thousands of years, okay? The fact that we have college kids marching for Hamas and Hezbollah, which are designated terrorist organizations by the U.S. State Department, okay, not just by Shauna Myerson in Los Angeles, by our actual government. You wouldn't know it by the way that they talk, but it's actually true. Like, what I really want to know, because it confounds me, I really want to know what anybody thinks is progressive about terrorism and Sharia law. Like, people who are now saying they don't just want to take down Israel, but they want to take down America, which is not a perfect country and neither is Israel, but by all accounts, America is considered to be like sort of like the freest and most desirable country to live in the world because of our Western values. Now we have people in their kafiyas saying, you know, it starts with Israel, it ends with America. This is the goal, is to destroy America. Is that progress? I really want somebody to tell me, like, where is the confluence between progressive values, peace, love, harmony, civil rights, all the good things, and let's kill the Jews. As a Jew, I have some problems with that. Let me go on. So here's the thing. A lot of people are making the point that I'm about to make, but I want to take it in a sort of different direction. A lot of people are pointing out, and rightly so, if you, social justice warrior, are so concerned about the people in Gaza, about the innocent civilians of Gaza, whom, by the way, overwhelmingly support Hamas, and were dancing in the streets when moms with babies were dragged in as hostages and spat upon, along with the dead corpses of peace activists who were murdered at a dance festival. There's that. Okay, but I digress. Let's go back. So the analogy that everyone is saying is, okay, if you're really, really concerned about the people of Gaza, why weren't there helicopters over my head here in West LA, over Syria? I didn't see any streets being blocked off for Syria that killed 300,000 of its own people. Who's looking out for the Uyghurs in China? Oh my goodness, millions of them put into concentration camps and death camps. And oh wow, yeah, no, I haven't seen those demonstrations either. Or a lot of people care a lot about Russia and Ukraine, me not the least among them. I mean, I actually had a Ukrainian refugee living with me for, I don't know, 3 to 6 months. I don't remember, because I really, really did care. But where were the people? And by the way, that war is in its third year. Who's blocking the streets about that? Oh, no one? Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. But that's not really my point, because honestly, those are worthwhile analogies, because we're talking about, if you really care about people, there are people who are suffering a lot more that no one's speaking up for. But I want to give you a more apt analogy, because the truth is, if you want to liken the demonstrations against Israel in light of the response, what I would easily call the war on terror that they are fighting after 10/7, a more apt comparison would be to compare that to people demonstrating against America after 9/11. So if on 9/11, the evening of, or maybe 9/12, let's give people a little bit of time to organize, people flooded the streets of New York and LA and London and Sydney and all the cities against the United States for being attacked on 9/11, that would actually be a much closer analogy to what's going on right now with people demonstrating against the Jews and the Israelis in the streets for being the victims of 10/7. And by the way, being right now wrapped up in a seven-front war that they did not start. Guys, if I start a war with you, you have every right to do what you need to finish that war, okay? That's just how wars work. And just keep in mind that if you care about, say, the hostages, of which there are 101 left, okay? We don't think that there's more than about probably 30 who are still alive, but that's another story, okay? But if you really, really care about the hostages, then you would not be in the streets marching on behalf of the terrorists who are holding them captive, which, by the way, that is a war crime, okay? Every single thing that Hamas has done is a war crime. Okay, everything that happened on 10/7, I don't have to go through the litany, war crime. Okay, holding hostages, war crime. And by the way, wherein Israel has done everything it can to minimize civilian casualties, and that is well documented by the most famous war experts on Earth, including John Spencer, Colonel Richard Kemp, and Andrew Fox, then you look at The Rock as being shot by Hamas and Hezbollah, and their intention, honestly, is to kill as many people as possible. Indiscriminate rocket fire from terrorists, war crime, okay? Whatever you are blaming Israel for, I guarantee, and feel free to put it in the comments, that is a war crime that Hamas is committing. But there's a fundamental problem with marching for a terrorist organization. And I could tell you at the ripe old age of 53, I cannot believe that I am witnessing this in my lifetime. I understand it in my grandparents' lifetime. But in 2024, especially as a yoga person, like I really feel like we sort of live in the age of love and light, where there's like been a really great awakening of people who really want to do good in the world and really want to be good in the world. And somehow they're conflating global kindness with massacring Jews. That's weird. It's just weird, guys. It's weird. And on top of that, let's go back to benefit of the doubt, because I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to these nice, nice kids who are, you know, shouting for things like River to Sea and globalize the Intifada, because those are just well-meaning and well-intentioned humans, right? So let's just go to a couple of yoga precepts here, okay? So the first one is there is power in words. Right. If you've ever been or practiced like bhakti yoga, maybe you've been to a kirtan, or maybe you chant, or even pray to Hindu gods. Okay. Those are all manifestations of using words in a powerful way. And if you're a religious person, all forms of prayer is just an acknowledgement of the power of the words that we use. Now, let me just flip this on its side a little bit, because for those of you who don't know, I, oddly enough, am one of the pioneers in the children's yoga industry. I started Mini Yogis in 2002, so 22 years ago, and made a commitment even back then that I was not going to ever chant any Hindu chants in a Mini Yogis class, nor would any of my staff. Why? Because words matter. And everyone has the right to raise their child with the with whatever religion they feel comfortable with. And it's not upon me or anybody to impose, in essence, prayers or invocations on children. So that includes things that seem sort of relatively harmless, like Hari Om or Sri Ganesha, or pick your chant. These are all chants to gods that the children I work with and my staff works with probably don't believe in. So I don't use those words, okay? Not with children. Likewise, if you're going out and chanting, and you're saying, let's start with from the river to the sea. Okay, that seems pretty nice, right? Like it sounds like, I don't know, some sort of resort. It's been documented pretty heavily that most people don't know what river and what sea that is. But let's pretend, again, benefit of the doubt here, that everybody knows what river and what sea, okay? So the river's the Jordan River. The sea is the Mediterranean. And if you're not familiar, those are the eastern and western borders of the state of Israel. So if you're just chanting it because everybody else is chanting it and all we want is peace in this beautiful land, and by the way, it is a beautiful land, just know, if you don't believe me, look it up, that this chant is actually, if you look at it in Arabic, from the river to the sea, this land will be Arab, okay? Now, if you know anything about the Arab world, okay, about 900,000 Jews were exiled from the Arab world after World War II. The Arab world is essentially Judenfrei, meaning no Jews allowed. Okay, most of the Arab world has zero Jews. Compare that, by the way, to Israel. which is 20% Arab Muslim, and all of those people have equal rights. All equal rights. That includes voting rights, includes equal medical, equal, whatever, schools, education, all the things, okay? So the accusations of apartheid, anybody who's been to Israel knows there's no apartheid in Israel. But again, I digress. That's not really the point. My point is that if you're going to chant from the river to the sea, find out what you're talking about, because this isn't a chant for peace, okay? This is a chant to wipe all Jews out of Israel. And if you don't understand the anti-Semitic implications of that, we got to talk, okay? There are 54 Arab states and one Jewish state. The Jewish state is smaller than the size of New Jersey and 1/500th the size of the Arab world. Why does everyone care so much about this tiny, tiny piece of land? And by the way, the Palestinians, besides having full control over Gaza in certain parts of Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank, also have two other nations. If you don't know, the Jordanians are Palestinians. Oh, so are the Lebanese. So it's not that there is nowhere for them to go, but there is nowhere for Jews to go. Why shouldn't the Jews be allowed to have one state, especially knowing that the Jews have been persecuted for hundreds of years from every nation and every direction? Okay? You're anti-Zionist? Where do you want the Jews to go? And by the way, Israel is our ancestral homeland. We have been there continuously for 3,500 years. You can find archaeological evidence about that. This isn't about whether you believe in the Bible or not. It's actually real stuff. Okay. So let's go on. Words matter. How about my favorite? There is only one solution: Intifada Revolution. I love how it rhymes like a nursery rhyme, like it's so much fun to say. Do you know what the Intifada is? Okay, so Intifada is a name for basically a long-term incursion involving lots of like suicide bombers, blowing up buses and dance clubs and things like that all across Israel to kill Jews wherever you could find them. Oh, do you see a trend developing here? If you are calling to globalize the Intifada and you think that you represent love and light, again, words mean something. Don't say words just because someone's telling you to say words and you want to go along with the crowd that you think is standing for something very, very noble. Look it up, okay? To globalize the Intifada means kill Jews wherever you could find them. And by the way, you can find one here. So if you can look me in the eye and honestly tell me that you want to kill me, a yoga instructor in LA, because I'm a Jew, then continue chanting for the Intifada, but understand what the words are that you are saying. And not only do words mean something, but actions mean even more than words. And you know what is even louder? Actions are louder than words, but these days, the silence, God, the silence is so loud. Every poll that's gone on in America has come back, even to date, that approximately 80% of Americans support Israel in this war. Personally, it makes me very sad that it's 80% instead of 100%, but whatever. Let's say 80%, that's a pretty strong majority. Look at the media today, and that's not exactly the message that you got, right? If you watch the media and you see the marches and the schools and the streets and the all the rioting and breaking and threatening and You would think that this was a nation that is purely anti-Semitic and hates all Jews. Not the case. And here's what I want to say. I've been quite fearless in speaking up for what I believe in, which is defending my nation and my people. To me, this is a very, very righteous fight. People have been afraid to speak up. They're afraid to support the people who speak up. And here's the thing. If you support Israel, you are part of the 80%. This narrative about kill the Jews would be so easy to turn around if everyone just spoke up. And if everyone spoke up, by the way, it wouldn't be so scary for everyone else to speak up. I get it. It's sort of scary. There's a lot of threats going on out there. I'm not going to lie. I get the most vicious and horrific comments. I won't be surprised if I get some on this about the things that I can go do to myself or, you know, whatever that others should do to me, for being a Jew. And the most disgusting stuff that is not only coming at me from the trolls of the internet, but also from the yoga community. Hey, yoga people, I'm talking to you. It's time to reevaluate what you stand for, because Jewish people are just as important as any other people. If you put up a square for Black Lives Matter, and I'm sure you did, then you should be putting up a blue square for the Jews, because believe it or not, we also matter. This hierarchy of kindness towards all except Jews is frightening. It's reminiscent of very, very dark days. And if you are not Jewish, now would be a really good time to reach out to your Jewish friends or just the Jewish community, even if it's just in a social media post, and say you care. What's going on in Gaza is horrible. Hamas could have ended this war on day one. Understand this. Hamas could have ended this war on day one by returning the hostages and laying down their arms. If you haven't heard, you might be living under a rock. But if Hamas, let's say the Iranian proxies, because it's seven countries now, lays down their arms, there will be peace in the Middle East. If Israel lays down its arms, there will be no more Israel. This is a fact. When you're choosing your teams, words matter and intention matters. If your intention has anything to do with Loka, Samasta, Sukino, Bhavantu, may all beings everywhere be happy and free. Do not exclude the Jews. I promise you, we matter.